are we? Where do we come from? Who do we become? What is it to be? What to be is it? Where are we? Who are my parents? Where are my pants? Why were we born?
We are Ethnically Ambiguous.
Thank you so much for joining me.
I mean, I'm so sorry. What a life I lead.
I know. How was your audition?
So great.
Yeah.
I had to sign an NDA, so I would love to tell you what it is. But there's a lot of pages. Baby boy had to memorize a lot. And they're running a little bit behind, but it is a very cool thing.
Let me guess. It's like a Ray Donovan.
That's exactly what it is. It's Jay Donovan, and it is a Korean knockoff of Ray Donovan.
I would actually watch that because I find Ray Donovan to be too intense.
It's so serious. Yeah. I've seen two episodes of it, and I was like, why?
Yeah.
Who has time to watch all of the shows? Even if the shows are good, I can't get mad anymore if people go like, oh, I don't watch Wrecked. I go, I mean.
Yeah, no.
Before, if this was like 10 years ago, I'd be like, why not? Do you not support me? But now it's like, why? There's too many channels.
Yeah.
There's too many good shows on channels. And it's like, I can't even keep up with music and YouTube videos. There's so many videos that
Well, YouTube is too long. See, Vine had it right. I was like, I'll watch 6 fucking seconds.
Yeah.
But then after a while, I was like, 6 seconds.
Can we get this down to like three?
Yeah.
You have to get through the entire internet.
Well, that's what a boomerang is for now.
Did you hear that statistic? I don't know the exact one, but like the amount of content that's uploaded onto YouTube every day. It's like a month or like a month's worth of
every content. Day?
Like every hour, I think, is like some ridiculous amount of.
No, I'm going to have to watch it all.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
You know, you're the only reason I ever watched Wrecked.
Aww.
Because I was like, I don't get it. You're is like, this going to be like Lost again? I cannot commit to
don't
Lost.
Don't do that to me. Don't do that to me. Yeah.
I was like, I don't want to find out why they're on the island or what's going on the island.
Yeah,
just
watch
it to laugh.
That's all it is. Just watch it to laugh. That's all it is.
Well, I feel like I should introduce you because I don't feel like our listeners
Well, that's kind of rude. I feel like my voice.
Oh, well, maybe.
You know, I feel like my voice.
All right, so should we not?
Never introduce it. People are like, who the fuck is this guy? Why is he so arrogant?
Just read the bio. No,
Nobody knows.
Well, I've known you for a few years now. Mostly, we only really speak on Thanksgiving Day through text.
Here's what I do, guys. 3 years ago, I decided I had a lot of time on Thanksgiving. So I was like wishing people Thanksgiving. And I was like, what if I just individually said Thanksgiving to every single person on my phone? Because Thanksgiving is like kind of a shitty holiday, but it has no like religious implications.
Right.
So it's not like I would cut out groups of people. It's like a thing where I could, that and like Halloween, I could do the whole. It happened to be Thanksgiving, so I messaged everyone on my phone, and then people were like, oh, that's nice. And then the year afterwards, I was like, ah, fuck it, let's do it again. And then now this is like the third year that I've done it, and people are like, oh, man, I was looking forward to this. It's like a thing.
I honestly am like, oh, there's the text. There it is. He's literally like on time every year.
I did John Schnabel's show yesterday in North Hollywood, which is a really fun show, and he introduced me as the guy who texts me. I can count on him to text me once a year.
Yeah, same. That's one of my questions. Like, so what's up with the Thanksgiving text?
It's just a nice thing, man.
It is nice. You're the only person who texts me Happy Thanksgiving.
Really?
Because my friends are like, whatever. They don't care. They're just like, hey, what are you up to tonight? Are you home? Are your parents?
Get better friends. You got to get better.
Want to go to a stupid bar?
Isn't every bar pretty much a stupid bar?
Yeah. But in my hometown, the bars, they're all like Irish themed.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Berkeley and then I moved to Davis, California.
Oh, Hudson went to Davis.
That's how I know him.
Yeah.
You know, I was on the debate team with his sister.
Really?
Yeah. And that's how I heard of him. Because she was like, I think she told me like, oh, my brother's a comedian.
Uh-huh.
And then he gave me tickets to his first album recording when I was like a freshman at UC Davis.
Uh-huh.
And then I don't know. And then I was like, wow, stand-up comedy's interesting. I'm curious about producing these shows.
Yeah.
So that's like a weird.
How do you get into producing shows and not? Because most of the time when people produce shows, at least in LA when they do stand-up, it's like usually it's the comedians themselves who are also doing it. And then when I got out here, I kind of noticed a little bit later on that shows would have like, oh, meet the producer of the show.
Right. And like a booker.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't even remember. So a friend of mine needed help with a show of hers. And she like introduced me to the producer and she was like, oh, you know, this is Sharon. And Anna's, I had just left working in reality TV development, which had been like sucking my soul out.
What shows?
What was it? The Gallery Girls.
The hell is that?
It was a stupid show in New York where like they just made a bunch of like gallery owners like sexually harass like young women into working for them. It was a really bad show.
How many seasons did they do?
I think they did 2 seasons.
That's fucking bananas that show got 2 seasons.
Yeah, and it was bad because apparently one of the gallery owners was truly like convincing the girls to have sex with him. It's a whole thing. That show got like, they, as soon as they found out, they were like, oh, that's good.
So you always want to be in reality, you want to be like, predator adjacent.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't want to like get fully into grabbing and making sexual assault, but you want to have a character or characters that are right there on the edge.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw like a clip of like, I guess Jersey Shore is doing it again.
Family Vacation, yeah.
And like they've really...
They
really toned it down.
They're so... Well, see, now it's because I actually watch it because I used to be huge on Jersey Shore as a... A teen? No, I think I was in college when it came out.
I like to say I was a teen for everything because it confuses
when
people.
I was a teen in 1972. yeah, so they are all like old and have kids and they're also all like tired most of the time.
They're exhausted.
Yeah.
It catches up to you.
And I kind of enjoy this version more where they're all just like, I got to go home. I'm too drunk.
They don't have enough reality shows like that. Most reality shows are like you go to 12 constantly.
Yeah.
There's not enough where the people are just like, it's 11. Yeah. Let's get out of here.
Yeah.
And just domestic arguments.
Oh, it's a great show. Check out Jersey Shore if you're
guys,
listening.
Guys, check out Jersey Shore, the show we all wish we could work on.
Yeah, I would love to have worked on Jersey Shore just so I could have seen it happen. Okay, I'm going to introduce you.
Okay,
this is Asif Ali. He is a member of Good Face. Maybe you've seen the special.
Comedy Central. Check it out.
Yeah.
What a delight.
It was so funny.
Thank you so much.
I like really vibe. It was just so cool to see like the brown kids do it, you know?
That was the whole idea initially that we had years ago when we made the videos just on YouTube. The whole idea was like, oh yeah, we can talk about things that other people can't. I mean, we did it for a while and the idea was like to do like a sketch thing. And this was like 2011 and we were doing it for a while and then they were getting traction. Like certain videos were really popping off and connecting. And then we were like, all right, let's go around and pitch it. And we went around and we pitched it like essentially the same thing that we have now, like the same idea. The idea isn't any different. And I mean, timing is really important. And also like the fact that Hollywood is like this, Hollywood makes it seem like they're ahead of the curve, but in reality, they're way behind in almost every aspect. So when we pitched it, this was pre-woke LA. So people were like, we'd be in boardrooms or whatever, and they'd be like, huh?
Yeah.
They're like, this is funny. Who's going to watch it? They're like, what do you mean who's going to watch it? There's so many people.
Yeah.
And they're like, meh.
Yeah.
How do I tell my boss? How do I convince my boss to make this into a thing? And we go, I don't know, because it's a funny thing. And it's to an audience that has not been spoken to or whatever. And a lot of times with Hollywood, it's they quantify what you do based off of an example of whatever you're doing or something adjacent to it succeeding in the past.
Right.
So they went off of like Hassan, myself, you know, they knew Ari and Fahim, but also you had other things like we were in a wave of like, you know, you have like Black Panther and Crazy Rich Asian, like all that. It was a kind of like a, you know, it felt, you know, where they kind of felt the fire of like, oh, we should probably try this at least because it seems to be that people, that minorities also watch TV.
Yeah.
Which is such a dumb thing to say, but that's honestly like part of it. And because ultimately, like with TV, it's like an advertising thing anyway, right? So it's like if people aren't watching it, they're not going to get advertiser money. And that's the whole point of TV.
Right.
So I get that. But Comedy Central, to their credit, was like super cool. And they were like, yeah, do whatever the fuck you want. Make whatever show you guys want to make. And then unless you guys are making like The Avengers or some shit that we can't afford, mm-hmm. we'll let you do it. So we all – the process of it was we all got in a room the same way that we did the YouTube things. And we all just like brought all of our ideas and just threw them at the wall. And whatever, you know, democratically, like whatever was the funniest idea would yeah. win. And that's how we came up with the show. And then we shot it all in New York.
Uh-huh.
It's pretty tight. Like, I have finished season 3 of Wrecked, and then I went directly to New York. And then we just sort of ramped up, and we shot it all in, like, I want to say 10 sketches, 10 days?
Wow, so like a sketch a day.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, we maybe
that's
had, like,
tight schedule.
Yeah, it was very, very tight. So we didn't even have any, like, we had a lot of ideas. The idea initially was, what if we shot – we wanted to overshoot.
Uh-huh.
Because you want to do that in a sketch show. You want to, like,
yeah.
shoot more than what is necessary. That way you can, like, decide later, like, what you want to keep in. But, you know, it's just the – you know, when you're doing a thing for the first time, you're just trying to – you're really just trying to make the most of whatever you have. Plus, we had to do the stand-up stuff and the mm-hmm. live element, which initially we didn't – we weren't even thinking about. And then later on, while we were writing all the sketches, we were like – we have to mm-hmm. do like a live thing. We have to do stand up because this special is sort of like a culmination of all the things that we've been doing since, you know, we had met in like 2000, right. you know, 9 or whatever. So it was like, you know, we all do stand up, we all did sketch, you know, and so we were like, how do we shove that all into a thing? And I'm glad that we did it because I think the live element has a connective tissue because everyone connects to different things in it. You know, some people connect to weird sketches and some people connect to like the more, you know, cultural ones uh-huh. and some people connect it to the stand-up and just like the intro thing, like the Starbucks name and stuff like that. Like some people really connected with that. So
yeah.
it was nice to have like a little bit of everything for everyone.
I felt that because there were, you know, and everyone go watch this Comedy Central.
Please
it's
do.
On On Demand as well, I think.
It's on Demand. Yeah. It's called Goatface. It's on Comedy Central and the app. It's on Demand. It's on iTunes. It's like $2.99
yeah.
on iTunes.
It's worth it.
It's worth it. It's yeah. on Amazon and it will be free to watch because right now it's like the first 2 weeks uh-huh. are behind the paywall, meaning you have to have like a cable login.
Mm-hmm.
But on December 12th,
it'll
be in front of the paywall, so you
oh,
can
nice.
Watch it for free. And yeah. we'll be blasting it then.
Go
so.
Do that. Mm-hmm. And also, you all know your parents have a cables login.
Yeah.
Just steal your parents' login.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think my favorites were the Baba.
Uh-huh.
The Baba.
Baba Knows Best. Yeah,
yeah which
yeah,
is
yeah.
just so real. I was like crying. And then the one with the cereal.
Uh-huh. Frosted
it is
Greg's.
What it is.
Yeah, 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 yeah. yeah.
That one was just so like out of left field.
Yeah, and I think that even though we could have done, you know, 10 Baba Knows Best,
yeah.
we really wanted to like give some variety so that people
yeah.
who weren't necessarily, you know, super into ethnic stuff would also have something.
yeah.
So it's like it's nice to have – and it's kind of funny because when people review the show, like we had like New York Times and like the AV Club and like LA – like different publications were reviewing it and – certain you could tell what people's mm-hmm. tastes were because certain people would be like, oh, Baba Knows Best was my favorite, and then certain
yeah.
people would be like, oh, like the NRA thing at the end was my favorite, like the more topical-y
oh, yeah.
type of things.
Yeah,
and then other people would be like, oh yeah, like the Frosted Greggs, like the weird
mm-hmm.
stuff was my favorite. So it's cool that we were able to do an hour, and that's part of the reason why we definitely wanted to do an hour.
Right,
you could shove a lot more than if it was like a half hour pilot, because if it was a half hour pilot you know, you wouldn't be able to do as much. And the way pilots work, I mean, I don't know if you're listening to know, but the way pilots work is you make it and then it lives in a vacuum mm-hmm. where just the people who are at the company see it and then they decide. So we were like, why don't we just do a special? That
yeah.
way people can see it. We can give it to the people. And then that will hopefully help and inform
yeah.
their decision.
I hope that leads to more.
I hope so,
so
too.
Great.
I mean, it was really, it was really fun.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like doing the YouTube videos that we used to do, but like with a little bit of a budget.
Yeah.
Because we had $0 when we were working. So like if you and I were in a sketch, if you and I were in a scene in a sketch,
mm-hmm.
the other two of us, one of us would be holding boom
yeah.
and one would be running camera.
Right.
And then when you're out, you'd have to like tag
yeah.
like a baton race
yeah,
in the Olympics.
Yeah.
So to be able to sit down and know that we can all sort of like, you know, flex.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like they give us $10 billion, but like we could flex to an extent that we wouldn't have otherwise be able to if we were just doing YouTube videos. So like Ari could direct the shit out of it.
Yeah.
And he made, you know, he could really stretch a dollar. That's why a lot of our sketches still look relevant on our YouTube page. If you go search Goatface on YouTube, a lot of our sketches still look very expensive.
Yeah.
And people would be like, how much? Be like, we didn't spend any money on any of these sketches. So bringing that level of quality and then taking it to the next level. So, I mean, I guess it's a testament that a lot of people were like, dude, you must get you know.
Yeah.
You must have had a lot of money. And it's like, you didn't have that much money. I mean, it was a pretty tight schedule. Mm. And but I mean, you know, like, you know, you're making a special.
Yeah.
You know, you don't get a gazillion dollars to do a special. But they were pretty cool about like, if we tell them like, hey, we want to, can we get this to do that? And they're like, okay.
Nice. Okay.
But the coolest part about doing it was getting together with your buddies and doing a thing that you had started, you know, 8 years ago.
Right.
On a, because that was a whole goal, was to get on, because at that time it was like Chappelle's show had finished at that time, and I don't think Amy had started, and then while we were doing it, Key and Peele had started up, and we were like, why aren't we in this conversation?
Yeah.
Because we didn't, it wasn't like a, hey, we can do that better. It was more like, we know we can hang, and we know we're bringing something different to the conversation that isn't otherwise there, and so that's why it was so frustrating to us.
Yeah, I feel like you guys definitely did that in this one. I don't know. It just felt fresher in the sense that I was so used to just the normal, like the sketch, you know, like, you know, the Amy Schumer show and like Key and Peele, like they all had their own thing. Like Schumer was more generalized. It was like really great writing, but it was more like, you know, all over the map.
Yeah.
But your guys, it was just nice to see content that was skewed towards a certain, like, it's not even just like a certain group of people, but like people who would get it on a deeper level.
Yeah.
Like you can still, a white person can still watch Baba Knows Best and be like, oh, I get it. Like brown fathers are very intense or something like that.
Yeah. So that was the idea. The idea was like, you know, you watch Schumer and you're like, oh, okay, I don't have to be a woman to laugh at these sketches. And then you watch like Chappelle's show and you're like, I don't have to be a black guy to laugh at these sketches.
Yeah.
But if you are either of those and you watch a sketch, it'll probably hit you a little bit harder. And so when we did like a we screened a lot of the sketches at the New York Comedy Festival this past year, and in like a big theater. And so we had like this projector, and we had never shown it in front of actual people outside of us.
Yeah.
And you know, when you watch a thing that you've made a gazillion times, you start to go like, oh, is this good?
Yeah.
And then so we were all, you know, chopping it up, and then we started showing them to the audience, and then to like hear.
Yeah.
Because I would do a thing, we were all kind of doing it where we would show it, and since we've seen the sketches a million times, we weren't even really watching. We were looking at the audience, you know, to like see what the gauge, how their response was. And like you're saying, you know, if there's, you know, brown people and they see like Baba Knows Best, they're laughing a little bit. It's hitting them a little bit hard. We can see it on their face.
Mm-hmm.
And like certain, like in our thing, like I'm saying certain things like in Hindi while I'm like throwing shoes and stuff. Mm-hmm. And people are like, oh, like you can see certain people in the audience are like, oh, yeah. I know that. But yeah, we also wanted to make it so where people who are not, you know, Indian or Middle Eastern or whatever can also laugh. Because that's ultimately what we are. I mean, we're first generation American kids. Yeah. So our sensibilities, we're like one foot in each door.
Yeah, yeah. And I have a question. Were you guys actually playing your real fathers?
I was. Like, yeah, those were all our real dad's names.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Because everyone was an engineer. And I was like, oh, they...
No, that's not my dad's jobs. Like, the jobs weren't the same.
Okay.
I think Fahim's dad's job was, like, legit. But yeah. Mine and Ari's were not, but the names were.
Yeah, okay.
And I kind of sort of dressed like my dad, and I had the anger, like my dad has that sort of anger. His whole thing is like he feels, you know, because if you grow up in India and there's like a gazillion people, like you feel like if you come from a third world country, you always have to be on guard because you feel like and you feel like people could be scamming you.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's hard to turn that off when you come to America. Like it's hard to turn off you know, negotiating. Like, you can't go into Ralph's or like a grocery store and haggle over bananas. But like, it took – that's why sometimes, you know, immigrants have like a whatever, a stereotype or whatever, and people go – but it's like, that's how they did stuff.
Yeah.
And then you come here and it's like, it takes a little bit to like get that out of your system. So like, yeah. So my dad one time, like, here's a weird thing. So it, like, it hits you sometimes because you feel like, don't try. The worst thing you could do to an immigrant person is just like, don't try to, don't cheat me.
Yeah.
It's like a principle, right? Yeah. Don't cheat me. Mm-hmm. Just be straight up. Right.
Yeah.
We took my dad to the dentist to get his teeth fixed. And, he's like, he was seven. He had turned 70 at the time. And we took him and, you know, we were obviously paying for it, right? We were like, we got it, dude. It's your teeth. We're good. We are doing well. We can handle this. Mm-hmm. Even if your insurance doesn't fully cut, we got it.
Yeah.
And he goes, okay. And we're like, can you like get out of here? And so we were talking to the dentist or whatever. Yeah. And then you settled the price at the receptionist office.
Right.
So we're talking to the doctor, whatever, talking to the dentist. And we look and we're like, oh, shit, dad left. And we're like, oh, no. And we walk outside and he's asking the lady
how much
it costs.
Right.
And then all you hear is, this is a goddamn highway robbery in a thick Indian accent. It's a goddamn highway robbery yelling.
Yeah.
Because he felt like dental procedures should not cost this much and that she was personally trying to steal from it. So like we had to be like, no, because he didn't understand. Yeah. Like, so we were like, oh yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
And then we paid for it. And she was just like, Jesus Christ. And we're like, I promise you, he's not normally like that. He would do that at restaurants. Cause he would, we wouldn't really go out to restaurants at all when we were growing up. Cause we were like super broke. But, and that's the one thing I hated about being Indian and growing up. Cause we were like poor and Indian, but it's like out of all the stereotypes, we had all of them except being rich. Like,
yeah.
Except both my parents being doctors. We had all of the other ones. And we're like, maybe that's the one you skipped?
Yeah.
We got to be broke too? This sucks. but one of the things he would do is like, he'd always be searching for deals. And he'd be at restaurants and he would do this thing where, cause he was like, you know, I want to save money. He'd be at a restaurant. And instead of like, let's say, you know, you are my sister and we're at a restaurant and you're graduating. Mm-hmm. So usually when you go to a dinner, it's like, celebrate. Mm-hmm. Let's celebrate your graduation. He would look at the menu and whatever you order, he would calculate how much each individual ingredient of the meal costs. Then mentally add all that shit up and come up to his own Price is Right answer. And then and then he would look at the price on the menu.
Yeah. And be like, it's inflated.
And be so – he'd be so mad. And we'd have to like tell him it's not about that. And he would – he's much better now. But when we were like really little and money was tight, like that was a whole thing. But like I can't really be mad because there's a difference between like being rich and not spending money is like what's that? Being like stingy or miser or whatever. But if you're like broke and you're doing that kind of calculations, you're just like –
you're stressing yourself out more.
I mean, but if you're broken, you're doing that. It's like, I mean, I kind of get it. Like, you don't want to like not be able to pay electricity because your son wants to get two milkshakes. You're like, fuck that. I'll make you one at home. Like, that's what he would say all the time. He's like, what do you want? And I'd be like, this at a grocery store. He's like,
I'll make it at home.
I'll make it at home. And you're like, really? You try.
Yeah. That's interesting. Where did you grow up?
Arizona.
Phoenix.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, my parents came. My dad came in 74, I think, to America because his brother, my uncle was a doctor, but my brother was working. So he was like the first one who came and he was like doing it. He really took one for the team. He was like, for you to get access to America, through like, it's like, you have to be like the brightest kind of thing, especially at that time. And so he had gotten in somehow and they placed him specifically. He took the worst doctor job, which is like usually if you want to be a doctor in a big city, you get paid a little bit less because they know it's oversaturated with doctors.
Yeah.
But you get paid more if you like go work out in the boondocks.
Yeah, yeah.
They'll pay you more because they're like, hey, nobody wants to work here. So he took that job. So he's living way out like in Wisconsin. He lived like in a deep suburb of Wisconsin. And then he was just like, hey, I can, you know, sponsor this dude. So like on paper, my dad should never have been allowed into mm-hmm. the company because he wasn't like particularly like he wasn't a genius or anything.
But it was just the chain migration.
Basically, yeah. So he came in. He's like, I want to work. Let's do it. And so he's working at like a GM factory. He was going to school. He was out. We would joke with him that he was like living 8 Mile. So he's like putting fenders. Yeah. And so he was doing that for a while. He was going to school. And then he got a job. He got placed at Honeywell, which is like this electronics company. Yeah. And they were opening a plant. Or they had a plant in Phoenix. So he's like, all right, I guess I have to live in Phoenix, even though he didn't want to live in Phoenix. Even, but, you know, anything's better than Detroit. Detroit in the 70s was like, that was a horrible place to live.
It was
like,
on its way to becoming Detroit.
Yeah. Today. So this was like right at the beginning of like crack epidemic. Mm-hmm. Everything was sort of shutting down. And he was like, it was the first time he had seen like mass mugging. Like both of his friends got mugged.
Damn.
He lived in like in this like shitty apartment with like three other Indian dudes, like just roughing it out. He'd eat garbage because he didn't know. Because in India, everything is fresh.
Yeah.
And you come here and he's eating like – he got so huge.
Yeah.
He would eat like a bucket of KFC because you don't know. He's like, oh, this is delicious. Is this new? This is fresh? Great. He'd eat like 50 White Castle burgers and be like, this is great.
Yeah.
I'm good. Let's fall asleep. And then he got that job. And then he moved to Phoenix. And then my mom called him. She's like, oh, you got the job. He's like, I'm good. And she was like, all right, come back. Let's get you married. Mm. And then she went back. And then it was like, he got married.
Mm-hmm, to your mom.
That's it. To my mom.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, that's how it goes.
You go over there.
Yeah.
And then they're like, this is nice to meet you. Yeah. This is the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Unless you better have a good fucking excuse.
Mm-hmm.
You better have the best excuse if you don't want to do this shit.
Yeah.
Because back then it's about. It was less like now when people get arranged. Like I still have cousins that get arranged marriages, no one's like smashing how to get married.
No. Yeah. I mean, I literally have cousins who are like, oh, I was set up with this older. I'm 17. I got set up with a 33-year-old because he's like a millionaire.
And they're like,
he just wants to marry a young, beautiful girl. And you're like, you can't say anything because that's what it's like.
Yeah.
That's the culture.
Yeah. Because, I mean, if you're in a lot of times it's not even, you know, about you. It's like, the old version of an arranged marriage is like, I look at it like I finally understood. It's kind of like two banks merging.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like you want Chase and Wells Fargo mm-hmm. to match up. That way all the other people we're all
coming up.
Yeah, it's all for the come up. It's not just about you two getting married. Yeah. It's not about that. They're like, why are you being so small-minded?
Yeah.
Because if you get in, then you can go to America too. And then we can all do well because it's about like survival. Because like both my parents are like one of nine children, like growing up like in villages and stuff. So it's like you need that come up. But they stayed together. I mean, but the thing is like with arranged marriages is like, if everybody is doing it, you have nothing to compare it to. So you go, yeah, I guess that's just what happens.
Yeah.
The reason why it's weird now is because all these kids are growing up, like, for example, me, and we're like, you don't have to do that. I don't want to do that. There's other ways to meet people. And they're like, oh, well.
Well, I feel like also divorce isn't very common because it's just like it's not something they saw very often. It's like, oh, we're just going to, you know what, if we don't love each other, we're going to get divorced. Because there's some times when I've seen it, my own parents like, oh, it'll be fine. And they're like, we live together. Like it works.
Yeah. For a lot of that kind of mentality, it's very much like, why would you?
Yeah. It's just more money.
Why would you just bail on this?
Yeah.
We're already this far in.
Yeah.
Why? Yeah. So what? I don't like him. What's the problem? They're like, that's not a reason to get divorced. I mean, I have kids and stuff.
Yeah.
I have a home.
I have things to do.
Yeah. What you thought I?
Yeah. It's so American to
him?
Just
really?
Uproot your life and divorce.
I have to stay in love.
Yeah.
No, it's like a thing.
Yeah, it's almost like a business arrangement. It's just it's lucrative.
And partly it's like when you move to a different country, that's like I feel like that's part of it too. Because like imagine you married someone, and you know you met them like the day before you got married or whatever, or a week before, not only are you married to them, like the equivalent would be all right. You meet someone, you get married to them, and then. They ship you to like Vietnam and they're like, you have to stay here and thrive here.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, all right. It's like, are you really going to get divorced? Who are you going to go to a bar?
Yeah.
You don't know anyone else that has anything in common with you. So it's like half you're getting married because, you know, you feel like I have to get married at the right time or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then you have the family expectations, but then you also have like trauma bonding a little bit.
Yeah.
Because you're just thrown into this thing and you're like, how do I, what am I going to do? It's a whole thing.
Yeah.
The point is, my arranged marriage is coming up very soon.
Who are you marrying?
Whoever.
Well, on that note, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back. And we're back, and we're trying to figure out when Asif's arranged marriage
is. It's going to be soon.
Do you feel like your parents, have they discussed that with you? Like, are they edging any sort of?
No, they know that arranged is sort of out of the question, yeah. But I think they...
They try and push them in your, yeah. Your view?
Yeah.
Like, oh, I don't know if you saw so-and-so's daughter.
Yeah, I saw her.
Yeah.
Like, all right, just, you know, think about it. You know
just
what I mean?
Think about it.
Oh. It's a weird thing when, like, you're growing up. Like, my family's Muslim, so it's like when you're growing up, it's like don't talk to girls at all.
Yeah.
For you, it's probably like don't talk to dudes.
No, don't talk to dudes until you're married.
And then you get, like, you get older. You get, like, 25, and they're like, why don't you have any guy friends? Yeah. You're like, what the fuck, man?
Yeah.
You told me not to talk to anybody, and now I'm supposed to become this social person that knows everybody? And they're like, yeah, what's wrong with you?
Right.
But
that's how it is.
I think their whole thing is, I think they just, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think a lot of the heat was taken off of me and my brothers because one of my brothers, when he was in college, he met my sister-in-law, and they eventually got married, but it was through chance that she's also Indian and her family's from the same city that my family's from, and she speaks the language fluently.
Hot find.
So it's like, they don't even give a shit anymore about us. They're like, we're good. And they have two little adorable babies of all time. So it's like, thank God they did that because now I don't have to worry about anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're just cool unk.
I'm good.
So wait, how many siblings do you have?
I have three older brothers.
Oh, wow. Four boys?
Four boys, baby. Ugh. And that's like nothing. To them, they're like, yeah. My mom only stopped having kids because I am the youngest. I wasn't a girl.
Because
she told my dad, like, if this next one's a boy, I'm out the game.
Wow.
Yeah.
Four boys.
My family's such a sausage fest. It's disgusting.
Yeah.
Could you imagine being a mother and not only having four boys? You live in Arizona. None of your family lives in Arizona. Like, all of my cousins and stuff were in, like, Chicago, Wisconsin East Coast, area, like, over there. So not only you're not around any of your family, it's four boys, and you have a husband. It's like five dicks. And, like, dudes, like, feed off of each other. It turns into, like, a frat house. You know what I mean? It was – I can't even imagine.
What do your siblings do?
One of my brothers is a pharmacist.
Okay, naturally.
But he also is, like, obsessed with shooting videos and stuff. So, like, if you go to my Instagram page or YouTube and stuff, he shoots all the videos that I do. Oh. And he edits them and all that. Like, he's obsessed.
So that's like his hobby?
Yeah, like the same energy he put into becoming a doctor, he puts that into watching tutorials and stuff. Yeah. And he doesn't casually watch it. Like, he, like,
takes notes.
Learns. Like, he learned how to do Final Cut. And then when that got out of style, he learned how to use Adobe.
Yeah.
He knows about all the cameras and lenses and audio, like, all that shit. Like, my videos would be trash without it. And it's weird because, like, now because of the internet, I've, like, gotten jobs based off of, like, things that he and I have shot together. It's
That's
really
amazing.
Cool. And then the brother above him is my manager. He worked in finance for a long time. And then when I was in Chicago, I moved to Chicago after high school to do, like, comedy and, like, kind of go to college.
Yeah.
And so when I dropped out of college and I was just doing comedy full time, he sort of kind of de facto became my, like, fake manager or agent, and then eventually just became straight up my guy because he was really good at it. And we obviously have a very good rapport because he's my brother. And he just is very good at it. I mean, he's very, you know, personable, and he isn't like, you know, he isn't like just like a shitty dude, you know what I mean? Like, and he knows exactly, like, okay, this, we need to do this, this, and that. And, you know, so it works well. Like, I'll find out some shit and be like, oh, we need to do this, and he'll find out some shit, and we sort of put our powers together and do stuff. And he has a couple other clients, but it's like a very small kind of operation he has. But it's been pretty very successful. Like, we sold like a Netflix show together. Like, I'm on a couple things. My friend, who he also reps, is the executive producer on Hassan's show. couple other people are like working on stuff. He has, so it's like people are doing great.
Yeah.
And it's kind of funny because back in Chicago, he was like, you know, we were working on things, and he was like, he realized while we were working on things, we both realized that like, you don't need, the reason why Hollywood's so weird is you don't need a degree.
Yeah.
There's no entry anything.
Yeah, it's just hustling.
You don't show up and go, hey, this is my thing. Now I can come in.
Yeah.
You know, even McDonald's needs like an elementary school diploma or something, mm-hmm. right? Here you can just show up and be like, I'm this guy. And mm-hmm. they go, okay. And if you yeah. sell a thing, then they'll be like, I guess that's who you are. It's crazy. Yeah. So, I mean, that was kind of empowering. And then meeting people, because we meet similar people, but also we're in two different worlds.
Yeah.
So combining that information, context and stuff really helps a lot. And also it's like, you know, it's fun when, you know, the people you're working with are like...
your family.
Yeah. And a lot of the yeah. clients that he has are like people that we've known for a really long time and are like yeah. close buddies and stuff.
That's
wild. And then my oldest brother... So my brother's my manager. He does that full time now. He doesn't work nice. In finance at all. And then my oldest brother is like the rebel. You'd think I would be, but I'm not. He's like the big rebel. Because if you think about it in context, the oldest child in, you know, like an immigrant family is usually like has all the pressure. Mm-hmm. Like you need to be like the most yeah. religious and the most
become a doctor.
Most educated. The, yeah. You know what I mean? You're carrying the crest of the family.
Right.
He went full on. He's incredibly talented. He went full on, like, I don't know how to describe it, like West Coast custom. I don't know. He's like one of the most talented like mechanics
oh, nice.
And like car fabricators
yeah.
that I've ever
like
met in my
rides.
Life. Yeah. Like he legitimately, cool. like when he was he's had cars since he was like 14.
Yeah.
He knows how to like when I call him and stuff and FaceTime him, I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I'm just like putting a new engine in this car. And he'll do like by himself in his
yeah.
garage. He knows how to do electrical. He can put hydraulics on shit. He knows how to. He literally knows how to do anything and everything
That's
there is to
cool.
with cars. And, like, he buys and sells, like, these old cars and new cars. And it's so impressive, especially as I've gotten older. And I work in an industry where no one knows how to do anything. Like,
yeah.
comedians don't know how to do anything with our hands.
Yeah.
Like, actually do anything. so, like, to go and meet that and go hang out with him in Arizona. And he's, like, welding.
Yeah.
Which is such, like, you never see Indian dudes
yeah.
doing, like, that kind of, like,
yeah.
man shit, you know, whatever that means. Like, doing blue-collar
right.
shit. And he's so incredibly talented and artistic
yeah.
at it. To see him do that, it's, like, it's wild. It's very cool.
I think it's an interesting thing that isn't really seen by our parents a lot, just, like, immigrant parents. Is like, if you don't go to, like, the normal lawyer, engineer, doctor... they don't seem to realize, like, oh, no, whatever we go into, we do take that intensity to it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, we still, like, know that we have to be the child of immigrants and show what we're doing and do it
right.
best,
right.
basically.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, you have to still show out.
Yeah.
And he's really good at it. So I'm glad that all my brothers they're all doing stuff relatively, except for the pharmacist, relatively that they like doing. He can't
yeah.
wait to quit. he's always like, can you please get famous so I can quit doing this shit and
yeah.
do camera stuff full time.
You're getting there, man.
I hope so, man. I hope
so.
They've helped me a lot. And
yeah.
I it's definitely like a team. It, you know, sometimes it seems like, oh, people go like, oh, you just did comedy. And it's like, no, man, all the cool shit you do is sort of like, it's very much a team, whether they're your family or like your, you know, your family in the community, you know, quote unquote. You have everything that gets done. It's all like a team effort. Like Goatface,
yeah.
like it wouldn't be as good if any of us did it by ourselves,
mm-hmm.
and we just got a team of strangers to sit in a room
yeah.
and write ideas. You know, and you know, all like my acting stuff and all that. That's like a very much like a team thing. You know, and like it's like you got to constantly be out here hustling and. Just getting in people's faces. That's why, like, the videos I do with my brother, internet stuff, like, my manager brother can be like, oh, he can be like, hey, can he go in? Can he come in and read for this? And also, here's a video
mm-hmm.
of this thing that you might like. And they'll
yeah.
click on it, cast people click on it and be like, oh, shit, that's actually really funny.
Yeah.
Or, hey, come out and see so-and-so, see my brother do stand-up, so-and-so. And they'll come out and be like, oh, okay, we'll do that. And so it's like, you want to have enough, Because ultimately, like, to go back to all that with Goatface stuff, the reason why we did those videos is because none of us could get auditions that we liked. Mm-hmm. We had no credits. We were out here just doing stand-up. Luckily, we had stand-up because older dudes, because again to timing, older dudes who were brown that we knew that were incredibly talented, like legit,
yeah,
like, you know, Juilliard, like legit talented actors, like not just fucking comedians pretending, like,
yeah, just true artists,
true, like fucking, you know, legitimate theater, you know, students of the game, mm-hmm. of drama. They they were coming out here, and you know, there's that phrase. I do this bit sometimes about, like, there's this phrase of, like, work begets work. This is a phrase in Hollywood that you'll often hear. Like, you'll read it in books, like so famous actors' books. They'd be like, take every job. Mm-hmm. Take every job and do every job. Every acting gig you get, it's an opportunity, because if you do well in that role, then the people working on that will be like, hey, Anna was great in that. Let's put her in this. Mm-hmm. And then she was great in that. Let's put her in this thing and that thing. And people will find out about you in the community.
Yeah.
But then so the bit that I do is like, yeah, that only works when you're white. If you're white and you play a terrorist, you have range.
Yeah.
And if you're brown and you play a terrorist, you're just a terrorist.
Typecast.
So all those brown guys were like, just find a fuck, do stand up, do whatever you do. Yeah. Don't go out for these auditions, because we've done them.
Yeah.
And they, when the casting people flip over your resume and they see terrorist four times,
yeah,
you're fucked.
Yeah.
The same thing with, like, you know, some of my, like, other, like, Mexican friends that I have. They're like, you know, you play gangster four times,
yeah,
or gang member,
that's it.
You're fucked.
Yeah.
You know, if you're black guy, you play thug three times, you're fucked.
Oh,
you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
Or, like, even women friends that I know. They had to, like, I have a friend who changed the color of her hair because she did, like, the thought girl, you know, the club, you know, ditzy girl four times. And that's all she was going in for. So she had to change her whole fucking look.
Wow.
But at least with that, you can change your hair. Like, if I'm a brown, I can't do shit. So
do the Michael Jackson.
Go full Sammy Sosa.
Yeah.
But so because of that, we were like, that was another added reason for us to be like, hey, man, we got to give these casting people a visual something to show them that, like, hey, we're very talented and we're funny and we can play these other parts.
Yeah.
And again, this was pre-woke LA. So that actually helped us a lot, because there was, like, certain sketches that we did that, you know, one of them was like in a short film festival and stuff. And, like, it all helped a lot because we could, that was supplementary stuff in our reel. And a lot of the stuff at the time when you first start out is like, you know, like a one line co-star or this or that. It's not really meaty stuff, but if you make your own stuff, you can kind of, like, sneak it in. And people, when they watch it, will be like, oh, that's actually really funny. That's interesting. Cool. Like, you have some levels. It looks like you can do a bunch of stuff. So because we had stand-up, we could kind of delay that.
Yeah.
And that actually helped a lot, because doing that allowed us then, you know, through those years of us doing the sketches, we were then, you know, kind of slowly moving into, like, they were getting a little bit better, and we could kind of, like, things were like open ethnicity and stuff like that, and we were kind of, they were kind of opening the doors slightly.
Yeah.
And so through that, then I started doing, like, a lot of pilots and stuff like that. You know, a couple years later, Hudson did Daily Show.
Right.
And so we were all kind of, like, working and stuff. So Fahim was going on the road doing stand-up all the time. Ari was directing a ton of stuff. So after we... years after that, after we pitched it and we got no bites, we were sort of just like, all right, I guess it run it, you know, I guess it ran its course relatively. It's kind of a bummer, but we were like, all right. And then so then for us to blow up and then for me to get working and everybody else's, you know, stature in the game to get a little bit higher, and then to come back and then being like, hey, do you want to?
Yeah.
Because they were like, hey, Austin, do you want to do something? And he was like, nah, I just did my special.
Yeah.
And they're like, man, you want to? And he was like, yeah, okay, let's do the Goatface special. And they're like, okay, great. They're like, okay. I mean, you know, to their credit, I don't think they really, which is a good thing. I don't think they really had any expectations because we hadn't done anything in a while.
Yeah.
But I think that's to your benefit. The worst thing that can happen is when there's too many cooks in the kitchen and they're like, hey.
Yeah, and they're like trying to micromanage. We want to
micromanage everything. But Comedy Central was really cool in that they were like, hey, we watched the stuff that you did. We get it. Do what you guys need to do. And then when we had that first conference call where we told them, you know, all of the ideas that we had, and they saw some of the scripts. They were like, then they were like very excited. They were like, oh shit, this could be something.
Yeah.
Let's do, this is great. Let's really do it. So we were,
really,
I mean,
amazing.
It was a whole long process, but it was really fun. And it was cool to do it after, you know, to have Wrecked and do that, and that be a thing where I get to be a part of an ensemble that mm-hmm. is a thing that these geniuses created, and it's a really exciting, fun, silly thing. And then to come here and work on like what feels like an indie, you know, yeah. it felt like a student project.
That's
it
great.
Still had that like great yeah. feel to it.
Well, because you're working with your boys.
Yeah, that's what was so exciting about
that's
it.
That's the best thing. I feel like working with the people you vibe with the most is probably like what you're working. You're basically working to work with who you just want to work with, which is just your homies.
Yeah, the hardest part, yeah. like the advice is like that I've gotten is like just find people that like you can vibe with.
Yeah.
That have the same sensibilities, and then just like keep working with those people.
Yeah.
Because they'll keep pushing you to do better stuff instead of trying to like just work with anybody.
Yeah, also they know you. So they're yeah. like, okay, I'm not going to just throw out a crazy ass idea and hope us. Yeah. It's like, okay.
and also like when we were coming up with ideas, it's also a lot easier to like be like real with each other and be like, mm-hmm. yeah, that's good, but like this one's a little bit better, and mm-hmm. this one probably won't work because it's a little bit too, you know, esoteric, or like that one might be a little too specific, or it might not have enough whatever twists and turns, but like these to like actually we can actually talk about things without getting angry with each other because we know each other.
Yeah.
Versus like if you were just in a room full of people that you just hired right now, you would have to kind of play this game of like I have to like spend 3 months feeling you out mm-hmm. to understand what you're sensibilities are
yeah.
and it's like we don't have that much time.
Yeah.
They gave us a thing and they're like shoot it immediately yeah. and yeah. like, okay. So we don't have any time to waste on that. So
oh, that's yeah. that's great.
I'm glad you liked it because honestly
yeah. I was pumped.
We
man.
Were most concerned about I mean I was, I don't know if they were, but I was most concerned about you know your own, you know, your own people like being on board with it.
Yeah.
Because the worst thing I think for me would have been like if like brown people were like, I don't like this. And then white people being like, I love it. Be like, oh, shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That would be
no,
really
I know.
Bad.
You're like, suck.
Yeah.
We
yeah,
impressed
yeah.
the wrong people.
Yeah, yeah. We're like, oh, no. You know, yeah. like a Big Bang Theory shit. It's like, I don't know any Indian people. Like, I mm-hmm. shout outs to Kunal. Like, he, you know, he's making that big money and like, I yeah. can't even.
Yeah.
Like, it's so hard to get a job in this business.
Yeah.
Make that money, dude. Because let's be honest, there's not that many job opportunities. And I'm not going to stand mm-hmm. here and say, like, I wouldn't take that job if I'm going to take that shit. And then it's a, but
yeah.
it's like, I don't know any Indian people that like that show.
Who? I don't even know who watches that show.
Oh, fucking 15 million people watch that
who
shit.
Who are they?
I don't know.
Oh, guys. But, this is crazy.
Right? So, but I'm like, dude, get your paper. But yeah. it's like, our worst thing would be like, could you imagine if like Chappelle's Show came out and like no black people liked it?
Yeah, that would be wild.
So it's like, that's the thing. Yeah. Like you really want your own people to fuck with what you're
yeah.
doing. And you want everyone to like it, but it's like brown people, we want brown people to like it too.
Yeah.
You know, we wanted people to have what we felt like we didn't when we were growing up, which is we never felt like there was a direct ownership over something.
Yeah.
Like when Black Panther came out, black people were like, we feel like we can take ownership of this.
Yeah.
And even though everyone can watch this movie and it's great, it has a value to us because finally, which is crazy because it's 2018 and Black Panther just came out.
I know.
So for us to do this is like
long time coming.
It's a long time coming, but really I mean
that's the industry.
That's how it goes. But we're good. We're taking it, and we're glad that we got to make what we made. And I think when it goes wide, December 12th, and everyone can watch it.
December 12th.
Yeah, when people don't have cable and you can watch it December 12th, I think that's going to be great. And ultimately, you know, we just wanted to make something that people look at and go, oh, they did that. You know, people coming up can be like, oh, we want to do something like that. Maybe their projects will get picked up a little bit quicker mm-hmm. because now they can point at our thing and executives will be like, oh yeah, it's like Goatface, but this yeah. other thing, it's this mixed with Goatface. And, you know, hopefully other people can get there.
I know you did. You definitely opened doors for everyone.
We hope so.
Yeah.
We
and so. On that note, we're going to take another quick commercial break. We'll be right back. It's that quick. It's magic, baby. I have a few more questions for you.
Sure, yeah, yeah. Get into
it.
Yeah, get into it.
I'm curious what your parents thought about... I mean, now that I have an idea of like your brothers kind of got in with you.
Yeah.
But I'm curious what your parents thought when you like went to go, you know, do comedy and then, you know, what were your immigrant parents' reaction to not doing the normal thing?
Well, luckily when, you know, because if you're the youngest, you know, when I first started, I didn't tell them that I was really, really doing it because I was going to school and I was doing it.
Where were you going to school?
University of Illinois, Chicago.
Okay.
And I was doing that, and then I was doing open mics and stuff on the side. I was doing improv at the college. I was the only person that wasn't like in theater that was doing improv. And so I was doing those. And then I think when I started booking a bunch of colleges and going on the road, and I was making money, I had to stop going to school because because the college shows happen when college is in session. Yeah. And I was doing so – I got lucky enough to do well, so I was doing a lot of them. So I talked to my brother, and he was just like, you can always go back to school.
Yeah.
He's like, believe me, the loans will be there. You don't need to like – you know, if you're going to get out now, do it now so you don't have $100,000 worth of loans for something you're not going to use. So luckily because of that – and I – you know, I always have like this – you know, it might be a delusional thing, but I always figured like in my head, I'm like, I'll be fine.
Yeah.
It was like, I think I'll be fine.
Yeah.
Because my expectations, I'm very content. Sometimes it's a bad thing to be too content. But when you're starting out, I think it was a good thing. Like I didn't want to be like super famous or anything. Not that I am, but my whole goal was like, if I could just make a living just doing stand up, I would be fine. Like if I could, you know, have, you know, a place and you know, I wasn't even really planning on moving from Chicago. I was like, if I could just live here and like make all my money doing stand up.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, that's a dream.
Yeah.
It'd be amazing. That's like the most amazing thing I would ever want, you know? And then so to do that, and then my parents were like kind of concerned because they're like, oh shit, he's not in school anymore. What the fuck? What is this? And so then I think they were kind of concerned. Like they were kind of like edging me to like, you know, when are you going to go back? When are you going to go back?
Yeah.
But then when I moved to LA and I got like representation and then my brother came, I started booking like acting shit.
Yeah.
And then surprisingly, it wasn't the TV stuff that kind of got them to turn the corner because I had done like a bunch of TV shows. Like I did like guest stars on like New Girl and like Modern Family and stuff like that. But they don't watch TV. No. So that had no resonance to them. And ultimately, I wasn't like bothering them because they don't know and I didn't want to like – I never wanted to put the anxiety of like what working in entertainment is on them because I would just make them more worried and concerned. So I was like, yeah, things are fine. I'm good. Mm-hmm. The thing that turned the corner for them was I did commercials. So I would do commercials and then –
like Geico.
Yeah, Geico. I did a bunch of Best Buys a while ago and my parents' friends were like, hey, you know, we saw Asif on these – Best Buy commercial, and that's they showed it to my mom and dad, and they were like, "Oh, that was like a thing."
Commercial,
where they were like, "Cause to them, being in a commercial is like, I mean, you made it." Mm-hmm. So they were like, oh, "Okay, maybe this is really something."
Yeah.
And then it was that, and then as I got further along, like I think the thing that really calmed them down was like doing Wrecked, because it's like an actual show.
And you're regular.
Like, yeah, and you're like, I've been on it for 3 years now, and to say that they're still concerned, sure.
Yeah.
Well. I mean, because it's unpredictable business, right? Mm-hmm. The reason why all immigrant parents want you to become a doctor, engineer, lawyer is because anywhere in the world, a doctor, engineer, and a lawyer is fine. Mm-hmm. So it's the only universal job anywhere in the world that you will probably be good. You'll be fine financially. So, you know, now they're like, in the past couple of years, they're like, they've come around to it. They're super pumped about it.
That's great.
They watch anything?
No.
Yeah. Do I want them to? Not really.
I'm the same way.
I'm just like, I don't think that they'll really get it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they're just happy with people being like, hey, I saw the thing that your son did. He's doing good. And
I
they
think
go,
that's
okay.
The best way to hear it.
That's enough for them. Because if they're sitting down and being like, I don't follow.
They're like, what is this, like Lost?
yeah. Like I remember my mom watched the New Girl thing. Mm-hmm. No, not the New Girl. The Modern Family. I did like a guest star thing on Modern Family. My mom saw it and then she called me and she goes, So you're going to be on it the whole time? And I go, oh, no, no, it's just like it's a one episode. Mm-hmm. SR. And she goes, why don't you just ask them? It's just the sweetest thing. Like, you come to Hollywood, and it was just a matter of me being too bashful to ask. Like, you just knock on, you knock at Fox and ABC, and you go, excuse me, sir, I'm a nice boy, and I just want to know if I could act on your TV programs. Aww. And they'd be like, aw, come in here, little scout.
We'll write you as a regular.
Yeah, get in here. Go make, you know, six figures. Yeah. You don't have to audition or anything. But the point is that they initially were, you know, they had some trepidation, but now they're happy. They can see that I'm good. I have some savings.
Yeah.
They're fine.
Well, if they're happy, I'm happy.
Oh my God.
I'm just another immigrant mother. It's very real though. Like the thing of a friend telling them they saw you, because they can hear it from you. Like my parents, like, oh, you have a podcast, whatever. But if one of their friends were like, oh my God, oh, I heard Anna's podcast, then they'd be like, oh.
Because it's the difference of me telling you, like, hey, that's a cool sweater.
Yeah.
And then like someone on the street being like, hey, that's a cool sweater. A stranger has more value in certain things.
Then you're like friend or family. Like, yeah. Like, you're just saying that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about you? What, I mean, what has it been for you? I mean, you're doing podcasting, you're producing shows.
I mean, we met because I was producing live shows. I don't remember exactly how. I probably just like cold emailed you to do my show.
No. We had met previously to you just.
Had we? Probably.
I feel like
it's all a blur after a while.
But, I can't honestly remember. I have a hard time remembering when I meet anyone anymore.
Yeah, no, it's not clear anymore. It's all off the haze of L.A. But
After like the first 2 years, you're like, listen, I have no idea.
I know we're friends. I don't know when we became friends.
Right.
Yeah, well, if I go back in my text, I guess that way I see what year you started texting me. Happy Thanksgiving. Yeah, I mean, it's the same. It's like just my parents for a very long time did not have any sense of what I was doing out here in L.A. They kept being like, get a state job, work at the state, work for the federal government.
Where are your parents from? Oh, because benefits. Because you get benefits.
Oh, yeah, they just want me to have health insurance.
Health benefits.
And now I have them, and they're just still kind of like, okay.
They're like, well, what kind? Yeah. They're like checking the plan.
Yeah, they're like, ooh, this is deductible.
Let me ask you this. You have tattoos. What did your parents think about that? Because those are visible tattoos.
Yes, I have a lot of visible.
Was that a big thing?
So my whole life I was told I'm not allowed to have tattoos. And then one day I was like, well, fuck you. And I just started getting them. And then I just started to realize, like, they really just didn't. They were kind of like, is that a tattoo?
It's like politicians, like, you're like, you can't do that. And then they do it and you're like, huh.
Exactly.
I guess they can do whatever the fuck they want. That's, and I can't really do anything.
That's exactly what it was like. So like this tattoo right here, it's Farsi because my parents are from Iran. Uh-huh. And it's my cousin who passed away at an early age. And that was like the first one they really noticed. And then because that's, I think it was in Farsi, sweet. And for my cousin, they were kind of like, all right. Well,
we can't get, it's not, it's not like a belly ring where they're like, hey, what are you doing? That it's you can't get mad at that. Yeah.
And, you know, it got to a point where I was literally in Iran, my uncle died, my dad's brother, and I was getting his own son to write something for me about his father for me to get tattooed. And my dad was being like, oh, well, you know, like they were like in on it. Like they didn't even care at that point, which I feel like I think I myself have kind of broken my parents down a little, like where they're just like, yeah, whatever, dude, as long as you're alive and have health insurance and like have a home, we don't care anymore.
And you know what? That's the most American thing we could have done to our parents. Yeah. Reduce them to people who are like, well, at least they're not doing heroin.
Because if they can't get you in medical school or law school, they're really just out here trying to fight for you to become an engineer and or just get a job that has a salary. And I mean, what at this point, I feel like they don't know what else to do, so they just have like kind of like, okay.
What do your siblings do?
Well, I have one brother who doesn't give a shit at all, but he his whole life was in and out of jail and then went to prison, so he really kind of set a tone where my parents were like, well, you know, she's not in prison and he's out now and fine. But like, it was like, there was a time where I was like, well, I'm really slipping through this. Like he's really distracting them right now. And I was able to go to college and get like a film degree, like just right under their noses. Like they were just sort of like, what are you majoring in? I'm like, oh, yeah, computer science. Digital media. No. I'm getting a film studies degree.
Where did your
UC
parents
Davis.
Move to when they came here? They moved to the Bay?
Bay Area. Actually, they moved to Utah first because they both went to University of Utah. That's where they met, in Utah, because they both came
separately. Oh, so
that's
a love marriage. Baby girl.
Unclear.
Oh, unclear?
I think
the
my
jury's
dad...
still out.
I know my dad loved my mom. It's unclear what my mom thought, because my mom is very, like, hard. And she's really smart and very, like, career-driven. Like, she still works to this day. My dad retired. Like, he's out. He's like, I make salsa, and that is all I do. But my mom is so, like, I have shit to do. I think she was like, all right, here's a dude. hey, he likes me. He seems cool.
He's from the same country. We speak the same language.
And I'm surprised she married him because she's aggressively Muslim, like prays 5 times a day, mm-hmm. fully in it, goes to Mecca, like does her thing. Mm-hmm. My dad, secular, doesn't give a fuck, doesn't want to talk about religion, is like, God, I don't know. Like he just does, he's not interested.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know how. I think she was just kind of like, hey, you know what? He loves me and I don't really care. Eventually, she told me originally she did not want kids, but then my dad was like, hey, you know, let's just do it. And she was like, fine, whatever. Let's just move this along. yeah, my mom, that's how she is. If you actually spoke to her, she's very like dry and will tell you
that's
the straight
so
truth.
That's so adorable,
and you're like,
yeah.
Okay, thanks, Mom.
That's so funny.
So they're
going to college together. What did they do? What did they major in?
They're both engineers.
Were they in the same class?
No. She's electrical. She's smarter than him, and he's civil. She's just way smart. She like designs CCTV. She like hand draws schematics. We'll be like, so this is a camera,
that's
and you're like,
so cool.
Oh, okay. And then my dad designs bridges, kind of.
And what's so cool about that is like, I mean, even at that time, it's like women in engineering is like such a minuscule amount of women in that field. So she's probably like. Hot to trot in the nerd
category.
That's
all my father tells me is like, women engineers, they make so much money. They make more than men. And I'm always like, yeah, but I'm not, it's a little late.
Well, it's not even that. They're just like automatically the belle of the ball. Because like my cousin did engineering. He went to LMU. He came from India. He went to LMU. He was on an H1 visa.
The old H1.
And he was like, there was like maybe under 5 women. Mm-hmm. In the entire program who are doing engineering.
Hard.
But he's like, if you're one of those 5.
Yeah. You're the belle of the ball.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. You're automatically Giselle. You don't have to do shit.
You're just like, yeah, I'm an electrical engineer.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Dudes are like, whoa.
Seriously.
Yeah, so that's what my mom was to my dad. My dad's like, hot find. And she's Iranian?
Oh, my God. It's the greatest thing in the world.
It's kind of amazing.
That visa stuff is real. I don't know if your parents on a visa?
Yeah, they came student visas to go to college. And they all planned to go back to Iran, but then the Iranian Revolution happened. They were like, I guess we'll stay in America.
My cousin's on a H1, and it was like he lived in California. He was living with my cousin, and he really wanted to stay in California. He became so California, mm-hmm. but like in a very adorable way.
Yeah.
Like his whole thing was
4 popped collars. Could you?
2.
No.
Yeah, he's the real deal. I love him. He's the most fun. He's a guy that, like, if in India, he's like the coolest guy. Like, he embodies what is the coolest thing in India.
Yeah.
But that just goes to show, like, what's cool in one country isn't cool in the other country. Mm-hmm. But it just matters what's in your head, right? So, like, whatever's cool here, like wearing a Supreme jacket, if you go to India, they'll be like, what the fuck is a Supreme jacket?
What do they care?
Why aren't your collars popped? But anyway, so his whole thing here was like, he loved that there was such variety of food in California. His whole thing it's to this day the most adorable thing I've ever witnessed.
Yeah.
His whole thing would be he'd go to a restaurant, and he'd always try new places to eat. Every 2 days, he would call us, be like, hey, can you come? We're going to go eat here. And we go, okay. And he'd always ask us after he'd already been to the place. So every time he would invite you to a place, it's the second time he's been there because he vouches before he brings people that he knows.
Smart.
So he'll go try all these places. And then if he likes a restaurant, he will literally finish the meal and then he'll be like, can you bring the chef? No matter – this is not like a 5-star restaurant. No matter what the restaurant is – he'd be like, can you please bring the chef? The chef will come out and be like, what the fuck? Thinking like, because in America, normally when you bring out the chef and it's not like, you know, some amazing, you know, 5-star restaurant, it's usually because there's a problem.
Yeah.
The chef comes out and he literally will hold your hand with both hands and be like, this was a phenomenal meal.
Oh my God.
Thank you so much for this. This really was a tremendous, it tasted so good. Thank you so much. I will come back with my family, which sounds like bullshit. Every single time he would bring us or his other cousins, whatever, he'd bring family, like at least 3, to that same restaurant, like that the week or the week after.
Yeah.
And then he'd be like, yeah, I was here last week. Can you bring the chef? And the chef would come out, and the look on the chef's face is the funniest thing because it doesn't – no one ever follows through with that kind of shit.
Yeah.
And the chef is like, holy shit. Oh, okay. This is someone who is like – there is not an ounce of like – I don't know, like cynicism in him. Mm-hmm. It's like pure just positivity. And like whatever he says is like on the face.
Yeah.
There's no sarcasm. He's like, I like this. I think you're a wonderful person. There's no sarcasm.
Yeah.
It's like these chefs are like,
okay.
Oh, I thought you were fucking around. He's like, yeah, this is my cousin. This is my cousin's brother. This is my sister-in-law. This is the chef. I went here and they're like, it's like the most adorable thing they've ever seen. Because like that's what they do in India. They really like something. It's like, you're my family now. Yeah. You're invited to my wedding now. It's like a whole thing. So then his H-1 visa was like expiring and he needed to get a job. And he couldn't, none of the places in California were hiring because they're like so saturated. Mm-hmm. So it became a thing like my uncle, you have to go to a place that has, it's completely empty.
Yeah.
So it was like, if you don't get a job by September, you're going back to India. And he was like, oh, shit. He's like, I can't. What am I going to do over there?
Yeah.
One of a billion engineers? Like, I'm fucked.
Yeah.
And then he got a job at Caterpillar in Peoria, nice. Illinois. And he was so mad because it's like, it's so cold. Mm-hmm. It's so snowy. But it's like all of his, it's like all Indian dudes. So he's like, he's like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's just him.
They're all just being engineers.
They're all just being Indian engineers. It's great.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so the visa thing is,
it works out.
Is interesting. And it's also weird because of now people are like, why don't people enter the country? Why aren't people entering the country legally? And it's like, it's not that easy.
Yeah.
Like my cousin's still not a citizen.
Yeah. And not easy to get a green card, especially now, more than ever.
Yeah. And they're like applying for asylum and they make it sound like it's like them like trying to bum rush. It's weird. We're in weird times.
It's the worst.
Isn't it the worst?
Yeah.
I wish that I could just talk about nonsense.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, I feel like that is my favorite thing.
Yeah.
Just being like, I wish all we had to do was talk about just bullshit. And then every day you get another alert that some nightmare is going on and you're like, oh, fuck.
Mm-hmm.
I have to be involved in things. And it's the worst. It's the absolute worst.
I'm literally checking my phone to see if anything bad happened.
Oh, bad things have happened every 10 minutes. Something bad has happened. Because there's like a bunch of bad things that are happening that we don't even know about.
Oh, yeah.
We'll find out about it like a week later. What do you think is going to happen with Mueller?
I think he's going to drop an investigation that's going to freak the fuck out of Trump. I think he's going to try and pardon Manafort. And I think Cohen's going to be his downfall. Hopefully. Ooh. Hopefully. Who knows? I think Mueller knows everything. I think he's full. He's got it.
For sure he knows everything. I think what's going to happen is, by the way, Mueller releasing this investigation is more anticipated than Drake album, Lil Wayne, Beyonce. It's the most anticipated thing of these past 2 years. Nothing has had a buildup like this. I think what's going to happen is whatever does get released, it's going to be like damning evidence. Because I listened to like a bunch of like, you know, frontline things about him. And the number one thing that people who have worked with him and in his past have said about him and his track record is he doesn't bring up anything that has any sort of flimsy. His whole job is to present something where it is a beyond a slam dunk.
Yeah.
Where I'll show it to you.
I heard he doesn't like to.
And there's nothing. This guy, his whole thing was like, everyone in his team and him, their whole thing was taking down mobsters.
Yeah.
So it's like, if you know that the guy...
Trump is the biggest mobster.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So like, that's why he's so scared. That's why he's doing the whole, this is a witch hunt. And I honestly think, though, he'll try to pardon himself.
Oh, I'm sure he will.
I 100% think that. He's going to try getting by not pardoning Manafort. I don't think he's going to pardon any of those dudes because he's going to try saving it for himself. Because he's going to be like, my counterargument is going to be like, he's going to let all those dudes go to jail. Mm-hmm. And then he's going to like at the end pardon himself and then dip out.
Oh, God.
2020, dip out.
Go to like Russia?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just leave. Pardon himself and get out of the country.
Dude, that is, oh, God, so fucking frustrating.
Dude, we couldn't even prosecute fucking Cheney and Bush. Why are we going to prosecute this dude for just making some money on the side?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's, I think, what happened is he went to do the deal with the tower, the Trump Tower from Moscow. That's when they got the contraband of him watching women pee on beds or whatever.
Do you think he did that?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I don't know if he was peed on, but I think he was definitely involved in a room where women were peeing on beds.
What I read about it was that he asked which room Michelle and Barack stayed in.
Yeah.
And then he got these women to piss on the bed while he just like
watched.
Yeah.
I think that's, and Russia, they film everything.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
You never know.
You never know. I'm just saying that we're in a weird time. We're definitely in times now we've lived through two times that are going to be like major chapters in history, in like American history books. Bush and Cheney, mm-hmm. and this.
Yeah, and that's what's crazy is that movie, that Rumsfeld movie is already coming out, Vice. Uh-huh. It's like it's already coming out.
Oh, the
that
Cheney
movie?
That
just happened.
Yeah, that just happened. And yeah. None of them got in trouble.
No.
That's crazy?
We're all going to die, you guys.
But the cool thing, though, is I guess the one benefit is that it's kind of made people go like, oh, we can't just like sit idly by. Like we have to actually, you kind of have to give a shit. Otherwise, this is going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, people are actually trying to read about stuff. And the Facebook is even scarier. Like, I mean, I could talk about this for hours, but the social media shit, like the way they manipulated that, they're not even hiding it. Like, I watched a thing about Facebook, and the guy who worked for the Trump campaign was like, yeah, I mean, Obama did the same thing. Like, they utilized social media. We just did it in a different way, essentially. And then Russia took the same idea, and they just ran with it for evil purposes.
Yeah. God, we're so fucked.
Mm-hmm. And Zuckerberg is not going to do shit. He's like, I'll make a mad baby. He's a little weenie. He's like a little wiener.
He's a little weenie baby. He's a little red weenie baby. Little weenie weenie. He's such a loser. I hate him. He's such a little nerdy little scumbag.
You know, when you watch him in interviews and stuff, I have never seen him in an interview not act like a kid that would never get invited to a party. And not get invited because of something he you know, how he is, but just the way he carries himself mm-hmm. is such like a, just a ratty, mm-hmm. you know, he just seems like someone who does not have anyone's interests in mind. He's a robot.
No, he doesn't care.
He's a freaking robot. Speaking of which, you can listen to this episode on Facebook.
Yeah. This will be on Facebook. Go like us on Facebook. So let's wrap it up. Please tell people where to find you.
Okay. On Facebook. I feel like we ended on a real downer.
That's how we do it here, baby.
I'll leave you with something fun. I will tell you something fun. So what I'm most excited about for the special is hopefully we'll be able to release it and people will be able to watch it in India. Right now, I checked and you're not really able to watch it because of like region restrictions and stuff. Like they can't even watch the YouTube sketches.
Weird.
Yeah, it's really weird. So that I'm really excited about because I did stand up like last year and the year before in India, and it's like they're so on board. They're very into it. Stand up is like a huge thing now.
Yeah, I heard they also love improv.
They love all of it. Like, I know a lot of them. Like,
whose line is it?
I talk to them, it's like a huge thing over there. So, like, I'm very excited for them to see it and to possibly, you know, I would love to work like on a Bollywood movie. So, if anyone has any connects, let me know.
Priyanka Chopra.
I would love to work in any capacity on any movie because, back to what my parents think, if I was in an Indian movie.
Oh, you're number one.
Are you kidding me? It would be like the dream. So to everyone listening, Goatface is going to be – hopefully we'll be back. To people in India, hopefully we can get it over there. And my ultimate goal is like you'll see me in some sort of fashion in a Bollywood movie. That would
Dancing.
Be, oh, my God. I'll do all – I'll take classes.
Yeah.
I'll take classes. I'll do all of it.
All right.
I'll go full tilt. Okay?
Sign your life away.
But you can find me on all of the social medias at Ali Comedy. That's A-L-I Comedy, one word. You can find me on all of it. Watch Goatface. It's on Comedy Central. And on iTunes, it's a one-hour special. It's very funny. Please watch it so we can make more. Mm-hmm. And you can watch pretty much all of Wrecked for free on the TBS app and the TBS website. That's it. I'm just happy to be here. I'm happy
to
be working.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. You guys, go follow Asif. He's amazing. Go watch Wrecked. It's a really funny show.
Thank you.
Nothing like Lost.
No, it's actually not.
Yeah. I don't know why. I just think Islands. I'm like, these fuckers are awesome.
And when you watch Wrecked or Goatface, more importantly, from a brown people, hit us up mm-hmm. and like, let us know what you think because, you know, It means a lot for brown people to be sharing it and supporting it and all that.
It's huge.
Yeah.
It's a huge step for all brown folk.
I think so.
You guys, I hope you enjoyed this episode. I hope you love Asif as much as I do. I hope he texts you on Thanksgiving.
I swear to God, guys, get in my phone. Yeah. Get in my phone.
Yeah. So thanks for listening.
Thank you.